is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 30. Talk to Me. Was it Mobei Jun who broke Xia Hualing out? Shen Yuan demands. Xiang Qinghua nearly chokes on a melon seed, totally unused to hearing anyone actually say that title aloud. Shen Yuan just gets back and that's the first thing that the kid says to him? He's really not used to anyone knowing about Mobei Jun's existence. Even Luo Jiahui, on the rare occasions she or Xiang Qinghua has to mention him, mostly just refers to him as your demon or Huagu's friend. Peerless Cucumber watches him cough and sputter without doing anything to help. This really brings airplane shooting towards the sky back. It's like something like this has happened before. Luckily, his fellow transmigrator's help is not needed, and Xiang Qinghua manages to reopen his airflow.
How did you know that?
Xiang Qinghua asks hoarsely, then coughs again.
Shit!
Xin Yuan crosses his arms and says, on the way back up, Peng Shixiang heard from Xiao Shijie on Qian Chao that Chongding guards who were there when she broke out have ice-related injuries and that they didn't see or hear anything before a big shadow overwhelmed them. Is there another character out there with ice powers and OP shadowy transportation powers?
Ah, well, I wrote so many characters, bro. I'd have to think.
There isn't one, Shen Yuan interrupts.
Good to know. Good to know.
Did you help him?
Xiang Qinghua looks around his office just in case, but thankfully Shen Yuan had the presence of mind to close the door behind him. Most of Xiang Qinghua's personal disciples are off on missions or errands, but Xiang Qinghua gets up to make sure that the door is properly sealed anyway. It's not that he doesn't trust the cultivators of Anding Peak. It's just that he can only trust them to be nosy, no-good eavesdroppers.
Shen Yuan is looking at him expectantly. The kid was away on a short delivery mission with Peng Heng Peng and some other Anding Peak disciples when Xia Hualing was broken out. He's clearly not happy to have missed an important update.
Kind of, Xiang Qinghua admits. I didn't know he was going to do that. Though, even if I had known about it in advance, I wouldn't have stopped him.
Oh, shit, has someone else connected what happened to him?
What?
No,
Shen Yuan says quickly.
Oh, good.
But what if they do?
Who's gonna tell them? No one saw him. No one even died. Which is really a good thing, isn't it?
Xiang Qinghua points out, with a warning look as he sits back down.
Bro, what's this about? What's the problem? You already knew that I'm still working with Mobei Jun here. That's kind of the thing of my character.
Being a spy? Shen Yuan says bluntly.
Xiang Qinghua sighs.
What's this about again?
What are you going to do when they find out? His fellow transmigrator demands. You're betraying the sect here. What's Shen Qingqiu gonna think?
He's probably going to try and kill me,
Xiang Qinghua says, because there's not really any other realistic answer.
What kind of question? We're kind of friendly now sometimes, I guess, but it's still Shen Qingqiu. Hopefully Liu Qingge or Yue Qingyuan will be moved to step in before he gets very far. If they don't want to hear my explanation, then I'll probably have to go live in the demon realm or something. I'm not looking forward to that.
He's pretty sure that Mobei Jun will be cool with him moving in.
Zhang Qinghua has heard that fully moving in together too soon can ruin a relationship, or that fully moving in together at all can ruin a relationship, but that's a later problem. Zhang Qinghua's best plan for Shen Qingqiu finding out right now is make sure that Shen Qingqiu doesn't find out. If the man does find out, Zhang Qinghua will probably try to explain and lie his way out of that, then beg, bargain, maybe threaten, and just run if all else fails. But until then, Zhang Qinghua is going to do his best to lie to, deceive, hoodwink, trick, and mislead his colleagues. Is this a good plan? No, not really. Is this still the best shitty no good plan he has, with his shitty no good system not breathing down his neck? Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, yeah. Because how can he trust any plan to survive first contact with the system's plotting? Shen Yuan is looking at Zhang Qinghua like he can't believe what he's hearing. Did the system make you do it? The system didn't seem to really care whether or not Xia Hualing lives when I asked it, Zhang Qinghua reminds his fellow transmigrator. But it's better for the sect and the story that she's gone back to the demon realm, probably. What would happen if we kept her locked up here or someone killed her? Xia Hualing's doting father would show up with a real demon army. We'd get another demon invasion for sure, and then lots of people would definitely die before Yue Qingyuan or someone could kill him. And then the Immortal Alliance Conference would probably be even more bloodthirsty, with that kind of violence stirring up old grudges and making new ones. Shen Yuan visibly thinks about it. Besides, I wouldn't put it past my shitty no-good system to let Xia Hualing die, then deduct points for continuity errors, because she's not there to kick off plot lines, like the dream demon thing, Zhang Qinghua adds bitterly. If I have to go through another forced update or something at this point, I don't know what I'll do. Shen Yuan grimaces, then decides. She is one of Luo Bingha's most important wives. Haha, I don't think that's going to happen. What? In my original outline, Bingha didn't have a romance plot, Zhang Qinghua says. Mostly to see how his fellow transmigrator reacts here. He thinks it'll be funny. He's been waiting for a good moment to drop this information, and now makes for an okay distraction. He was doomed to fade away, alone and unaging forever. Shen Yuan makes a mouth like a fish. Ha ha, yeah, that's pretty funny, Zhang Qinghua thinks. Nice. Didn't you say something like that yourself in another life? What sort of happy and fulfilled person marries 600 wives? Zhang Qinghua says next. I don't want 600 nieces-in-law. This Bingha doesn't seem too interested in that kind of thing, and I'm grateful. Ha ha, he'd probably be too worried about what his mother would say about him bringing home a girl who bites off noses and tried to kill his aunt to even consider it. Zhang Qinghua still has no idea what to think of his nephew's apparent fascination for his fellow transmigrator. Maybe Bingha is just interested in Shen Yuan's unusual ear piercings and strange haircut. Luo Jiahui taught her son to be kind to those in need, so maybe Bingha has just decided that he needs to look out for his shudi and made a friend? It could just be that. Zhang Qinghua loves his little sister-in-law dearly. He really does. He values her observations and her opinions. But he can't overlook the fact that Funli kind of likes to stir up shit for her bratty baby nephew. Until Luo Bingha tells him anything, Zhang Qinghua doesn't know shit about crap here. You really sold out to make readers with no taste happy, Shen Yuan says. He doesn't say it like a question at all, just a totally true statement of fact. In everyday life, you've got to prioritize the important things and make hard decisions, Zhang Qinghua answers wisely. I get it now. Bro, were you worried about me? Were you worried what might happen to me if I get caught here?
I'm worried about how it will make the rest of us look, Shen Yuan insists.
Aw, thanks for your concern. It's touching, really.
Zhang Qinghua's calm right now about his martial siblings' potential reactions to his betrayal is only surface level, really. But he's not about to lose his shit in front of Peerless Cucumber, of all people. He's been thinking about this problem for years. There's only so much planning he can do. He's hoping that he's bought enough goodwill to explain himself, but it's super possible that there will be nothing he can do and that he'll just have to run for it. If he thinks about this unavoidable problem for too long, the urge to scream becomes almost overwhelming, so Zhang Qinghua tries not to think about it. It was hard not to think about it yesterday, when he was bringing Wei Qingwei and Wang Qingjia resources for designing more secure containment for demons. It was really hard not to think about it the day before that, when he almost had to pull Shen Qingqiu off Qian Chao Peak, when his interrogation of the injured guards got a little too intense. Also, the day before that, when he had to just sit there and nod through half an hour of Qi Qingqi, who was reviewing the sect's instructions on how to successfully contain demons and writing her own procedures, ranting to him about what a horrible, scheming, violent, mouthy brat Sha Hualing was as a prisoner. It was really, really hard not to think about it a few days before that, listening to Yue Qingyuan explain to their Zhaohua temple sect guests that they suspected a powerful ice demon had broken Sha Hualing out of her cell, possibly using another variant of these new space-warping barrier-disrupting weapons. Taking Mo Beijun's information about the source and qualities of the crystals to Wei Qingwei had made Zhang Qinghua feel like this was for the better again. There's a balance to maintain here, even if his martial siblings don't know about it. But that didn't stop him from feeling like shit about it throughout the entire visit. Zhang Qinghua sighs again.
Bro, I don't know about you, but I, for one, will sleep more soundly knowing that Sha Hualing isn't here anymore. I told you my relationship with Mo Beijun in this world is pretty good. Really, it's very good. He's the one who told me about this new alliance that's going to make the next Immortal Alliance conference even worse, remember?
And in exchange, you're helping him become the next Mo Beijun for real.
Right.
And he's going to take Bing He in so he can skip the Eternal Abyss.
That's the hope. Heavenly demons are powerful allies, Zhang Qinghua agrees.
Look, I know that standing aside and letting Mo Beijun help Sha Hualing in any way looks bad. She's awful, huh? But it's for a good reason. It's for several really, really good reasons, right? And just think about what kind of awkward questions the system would have put you in here if you'd really transmigrated in as Shen Qingqiu.
Shen Yuan grimaces in horror and disgust.
Exactly, Zhang Qinghua says, very vindicated by that expression. Now, not even a hello for your poor, unappreciated shifu before the interrogation starts? Where's the respect here? How did your first big, Anding Peak-style vacation with Peng Hong Peng go? Don't just say fine. Talk to me. Did you have fun?
Fun? It wasn't anything like a vacation. Why would anyone ever call it that?
That's the joke.
It's a terrible joke,
Shen Yuan says, outraged.
It's just a lie.
Ha, it really is.
Peerless Cucumber gives him an in-depth review of everything wrong with his mission, including, but not limited to, a city merchant who unwittingly told separate members of their party three completely different dead husband sob stories, hoping to get a discount, local kids who tried to make off with their cartwheels while they were driving, and a local farmer sending them down a road that was currently plagued by a monster, assuming that because they were cultivators, they wouldn't need warnings, and also hoping they would take care of the problem for free. Shang Cheng Hua struggles not to laugh several times. He agrees that as far as On Ding Peak trade missions go, that's pretty shitty, if only because he's sure that his infuriated fellow transmigrator will start breathing fire if he even jokingly says something like, like normal, then. His fellow transmigrator calms down a little to admit that the monster encounter was pretty cool. It apparently wasn't a very big monster, since the super big ones don't often get near cities, so they managed to take care of it without too much trouble. Xun Yuan too casually mentions recognizing the monster's strengths and extrapolating its weaknesses for his Shuxiangs, clearly very proud of himself. The dead monster wasn't worth bringing back to the sect, so they were temporarily delayed by proper disposal, which was also apparently pretty cool, if also really gross. "Have you even washed up yet?" Shang Cheng Hua asks, looking the kid over again. "Are you tracking dust and monster blood into my office right now? I had to clean these floors for my shifu back when I was a disciple, you know. It takes a while. It's not fun. Have pity on your poor martial siblings, bro." Shang Cheng Hua shoos his fellow transmigrator away and promises him that he can talk about cool, proud immortal demon way monsters and other fictional beasts all he likes after a bath. It's not like it hurts his ego to hear his fellow transmigrator actually be enthusiastic about his work and his world. And Shang Cheng Hua kind of likes hearing someone casually bring up or offhandedly reference topics, dramas, video games, cartoons, literature, that he thought he had left behind him a long time ago. Even if it's just so he can be accused of ripping off something that he barely fucking remembers. "And go eat something, too," Shang Cheng Hua adds. Normally, he doesn't have to tell his disciples to eat anything, but Xun Yuan is so skinny, and Shang Cheng Hua wants to buy himself some extra time to finish what he was doing. This gets him a shameless eye roll. "Yes, Daga," Xun Yuan says insincerely. It takes Shang Cheng Hua a beat to realize what his fellow transmigrator just said. He wouldn't really have thought anything about that line if Xun Yuan didn't suddenly freeze like he'd just been caught committing murder, his eyes going wide and horrified, which makes Shang Cheng Hua realize that that wasn't just a joke. That was a genuine slip. Shang Cheng Hua and Xun Yuan stare at each other. Shang Cheng Hua laughs. "I think you've been hanging around Fan Li." "Shut up!" Xun Yuan snaps. "Little too much. It's shut up, shut up, shut up!" Xun Yuan repeats even louder. "Seriously, it's not." Shang Cheng Hua's fellow transmigrator flings open the door and runs away from the conversation before there can be any real teasing. Shang Cheng Hua stares after him, then gets up from his desk. "Ah, wow. Peerless Cucumber really just ran away from him, huh? The kid is already gone." Shang Cheng Hua wishes he could get away with just running away from awkward conversations like that. "I'll just let Cucumber Bro cool off," he thinks to himself, amused. "And then I'll make fun of him." But Xun Yuan doesn't come back all day. Shang Cheng Hua gets a few messengers from Chongding Peak and Qian Chao Peak, a visit from one of his managers for Zui Xian Peak, who is apparently this fucking close to losing it. Aren't they all? And a teacher bringing him an update on the junior disciples' progress. But no fellow transmigrator. Peng Hong Peng shows up mid-afternoon to give him a report on the mission and to catch up on some of the work he's missed. Maybe Shang Cheng Hua is a little too obvious in keeping an eye out for his fellow transmigrator, because Peng Hong Peng asks him near the end of the day if he's waiting for something. "Not really. Just some Ching Ching orders. Shang Ching Hua lies. Oh. It's not urgent. No need to worry. As Shang Ching Hua leaves for the day, Peng Hong Peng stops him to awkwardly say, Shifu, I'm sure that Shun Shibo's bad mood over the demoness's escape will fade eventually. He doesn't say this like he really believes it. Peng Hong Peng is too clever to underestimate how long Shun Ching Chu can and will hold a grudge. Aha, he'll find some other issue soon enough, Shang Ching Hua agrees. Good luck, Shifu, Peng Hong Peng says earnestly. Thanks, Shang Ching Hua says, wondering if his head disciple has heard a new rumor that Shun Ching Chu is out for more blood than usual or something. Is that supposed to be code for something? Well, it never hurts to be too careful. He can always use a little more luck. Anding Peak is a busy place, and its Peak Lord is a busy person. So it's not that weird for Shang Ching Hua not to see his fellow transmigrator for several days. Nearly a week with only brief sightings here and there is kind of strange. Shang Ching Hua leaves it be, though. He's got more important things on his mind. Like seeing that Kuxing Peak gets the right fat for some special anti-demon candle making. Making sure that Xian Shu Peak doesn't run out of soap. He does not want to test Qi Qing Qi's temper right now. And sending out emergency resupply teams to some Baichan Peak and Wanjian Peak cultivators out on dangerous missions right now. Shang Cheng Hua doesn't really start to worry about the Daga incident until his fellow transmigrator just doesn't show up for a club meeting to discuss the Weeper's Eye. Shang Cheng Hua is in the middle of thinking, holy shit, the kid has been kidnapped and I didn't even notice. He stumbled off a cliff and died or something on my watch. I'm a terrible teacher. I'm the shittiest bro ever. What the fuck am I going to tell Fun Li and Bing He? When Chen Xuan pops in to tell him that their littlest Shudi, who did all his training and lessons and chores just fine, apparently suddenly isn't feeling well. Not badly enough to go to Chen Chao, though, eh? Shang Cheng Hua says finally. Chen Xuan shrugs. Just passing on the message, Shifu. Shang Cheng Hua is tempted to go to Peerless Cucumber's leisure house, flip the bed, and tell the kid that back in his day, Anding Peak disciples didn't get out of anything unless they were dead. What the fuck is that? Shang Cheng Hua faked being sick as a disciple a few times, maybe, and still sometimes in his time as Peak Lord, but that was when he really, really needed a break, or, well, it was Mo Bei Jun related somehow. Those were not good days. Altogether, Shang Ching Hua does not miss being that young, especially having done it twice. In the end, Shang Ching Hua just leaves his fellow transmigrator be. It's hard work just being a transmigrator, so generous allowances can be made. He walked so Cucumber could run and all that stuff. Or, not run, apparently. Also, Shang Cheng Hua could really use this freed-up time to go fix some bullshit problem that the master builders are having with some dormitory renovations on Longsheng Peak. He sends a quick note to Luo Fun Li to ask her to check on her friend sometime soon, then gets back to work. Maybe she can make everyone soup or something. How that goes, he has no idea, because Yue Qingyuan suddenly calls him in to continue discussing the potential logistics of preventing ordinary people from coming anywhere near the next Immortal Alliance conference, when huge crowds will probably show up expecting shows of power and lots of shopping. And also, when people will want to bring their friends and families. People are going to be so angry at them for ruining a good money-making and networking opportunity. Instead of this being the demon's fault. But even if the sects can keep the crowds away from the conference itself, They still have to consider the danger to all the cities, towns, and villages surrounding Jue Di Gorge. Shang Chenghua thought that the last two Immortal Alliance conferences were nightmares of logistics, and he was right. This one is promising big things, however. When the loudest talking heads at Zhao Hua Temple Sect are still quite sure that, despite Xia Hua Ling's demonstration, it honestly won't be that bad. That they're already fully prepared for any attacks, and that these Chongding Mountain Sect youngsters need to calm down, stop exaggerating, and stop assuming the worst. At this point, if a Shixiang snaps, Shang Chenghua is fully prepared to be a good shuri and help hide the bodies. Did he see something? Nope, he didn't see anything. When Shang Chenghua finally does see Luo Fanli in passing a few days later, she says that Shen Yuan didn't say much worth hearing when she visited him and shrugs it off as her fellow disciple being grumpy. His little sister-in-law is too busy to talk more than that at the time, tasked with herding some of Xian Xu Peak's littlest martial sisters around for some joint training thing with Kuxing Peak. She doesn't even have time to say goodbye to him before running off to break up a fight. She doesn't even turn around to wave. Shang Chenghua gets to see his nephew a couple of days after that, at least. He and Bingha haven't really gotten to see each other since their last meeting in person, but there have been a few messages. Not much meat to those messages, though. So Shang Chenghua feels a little starved and ends up still unsatisfied afterward this time, too. Bingha is just delivering a message and has places to be. With other people around, all Shang Chenghua gets is a subdued smile and some friendly but empty words. Even though his nephew never seemed to have a problem grinning widely at the sight of him before. Visiting his sister-in-law at the end of that week is a feast for a very hungry man, and not just because Luo Jiahui always sets an impeccable dinner table. The best table in the world as far as he's concerned. Shang Chenghua makes sure to thank her for being there to support overworked and underappreciated brothers. She pats him on the head with loving condescension. Luo Jiahui, at least, seems to take the tale of the accidental Daga slip as the light story that it should be. "Oh no," she says, but her eyes are bright and dancing. "It's not like it doesn't happen," Shang Chenghua complains. "It happens. We had a little Shumei from a few years ago who accidentally called me father at least 3 times. Adorable, right? Peng Hong Peng fell asleep at his desk and then accidentally called me mother when I woke him up one time." Luo Jiahui laughs. "Oh, really?" "He did what any reasonable person would do. Disciple Spots claimed to have no memory whatsoever of mumbling that, and stuck to that weak story like his life depended on it. You know, when I was at Zhao Hua Temple Sect, Yue Qingyuan's youngest assistant accidentally called him father in front of me once. I thought that kid was going to jump out a window in shame, even though I bet our reliable sect leader gets that all the time. Who hasn't had a disciple accidentally call them father?"
"That's never happened to me,"
Liu Qingge interrupts, frowning. Shang Chenghua snorts. "Aha, really?"
"Never."
"That's weird. I guess that Bai Chan is just set up a little differently, huh?"
"Maybe it's just something about Huaga,"
Luo Jiahui assures her husband, even patting him on the hand, with a little mischief in her eye when she looks at Shang Chenghua. "That's what he gets for spoiling them like he does."
"True,"
Liu Qingge says consideringly. "You're teaming up on me again," Shang Chenghua complains. "It's 2 against 1.
"Just get married,"
Liu Qingge says. Luo Jiahui bursts out laughing. Liu Qingge looks extremely pleased with himself for making the joke first, after Luo Jiahui making it many times before over the years. Luo Jiahui takes a deep breath, takes one look at whatever expression Shang Qinghua's face is making without his permission. What expression is this? He doesn't know. And then laughs so hard that she gives herself hiccups. Maybe because she also tries to apologize the entire time.
Sorry. Sorry, Huaga. Your face was so surprised.
You are definitely teaming up on me now, Shang Qinghua complains, shoving aside all sorts of strange thoughts he doesn't want to have right now, or maybe ever. Maybe Luo Jiahui can see some of them, because her expression turns a little concerned. Fortunately, she can't say anything, not before Liu Qingge comes back with some water for her to drink, which doesn't seem to get rid of her hiccups at all. Shang Qinghua quickly changes the topic back to his reclusive fellow transmigrator. I don't know how to reassure my disciple that it's really not a big deal.
It's not, Liu Qingge agrees.
Maybe he's homesick, and this reminded him of that, Luo Jiahui suggests. Is it really about such a silly mistake? Maybe it's more than that.
Well, writing or visiting home isn't really an option for this disciple, Shang Qinghua says awkwardly, but also in a way that immediately makes his meaning clear. Liu Qingge and Luo Jiahui's faces communicate their understanding.
That's a difficult situation, Luo Jiahui murmurs.
It really is. Unless one counts Peerless Cucumber's transmigration system here, and Shang Qinghua doesn't count shitty no-good systems here, Shang Qinghua is really the only person that the kid has in this world. This kid is the only person Shang Qinghua has from his original home, too. It's really weird to think about. Plus, he's just some random reader with the misfortune to transmigrate into Airplane Shooting Towards the Skies, shitty web novel of all places. So it kind of makes an author god feel responsible. Even though he already has a nephew to look after. And it looks like he's not doing too well at that right now. It's been a long, long time since, hey, look at this shiny thing, was really good enough to make his nephew all smiles and sweetness again. Shang Qinghua feels like he's suddenly fallen far behind on this kind of thing. What sort of reassuring thing did you wish that your parents or teachers told you when you were young? Shang Qinghua asks desperately. What sort of thing do you think a young person feeling a little lost really needs to hear? Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge visibly think about it. Shang Qinghua really hopes that they have something, because he hasn't been young in a very long time now, and it's hard to think freely with a shitty, no-good system jammed into your head like this. Mostly, he's hoping that Luo Jiahui has something for him. His sister-in-law has always been good at saying reassuring things. She makes them sound true.
I wish my parents had told me that my mistakes didn't matter, Luo Jiahui says firmly, like she's refusing to let her voice shake or hiccup again. They found mistakes in everything I did. They would bring even the littlest things up again years later and talked like I wanted to shame them and like I was trying to make them suffer. I wish they had said, "You are not your mistakes. I love you. I will always love you no matter your mistakes."
Liu Qingge offers her a comforting hand and she takes it. She smiles at him.
I don't think that's what you're looking for, she says to Shang Qinghua. But it's what I wish my parents had told me. It's what I try to make sure Binghe and Fan Li know, even though Fan Li and I have a little trouble sometimes.
I'm sure they do know, Shang Qinghua assures her.
Fan Li knows,
Liu Qingge agrees. Luo Jiahui nods, and then looks at her husband.
What did you want to hear as a child from your teacher?
You have more experience with martial family relationships. Liu Qingge considers the question again, then says,
Slow down. Being strong and independent is a worthy goal, but be careful that it does not leave you alone. Do not dismiss people around you. There is more to life than the next fight.
Oh, that sounds good, Luo Jiahui agrees.
My teachers did tell me this,
Liu Qingge informs them.
Eh? They did? Shang Chenghua asks.
Yes, I didn't listen, though,
Liu Qingge answers, but he's smiling, and it makes Luo Jiahui laugh.
They didn't try to enforce the lesson. I was too arrogant and too stubborn and too used to being alone.
This makes Luo Jiahui squeeze his hand tightly, and his smile widens for her.
That sounds like it could be helpful, Shang Chenghua decides. Thanks.
What sort of thing do you wish you'd been told, Hua Ge? Fan Li said you said this boy reminded you of yourself.
Did I say that? I guess I did.
This is a very awkward question for reasons that Shang Chenghua can't explain to his sister-in-law and her husband. Which set of parents are they talking about here? This is all getting a little too deep and out of hand for such a tiny slip-up. I wish I'd been told that just because good things don't happen in an instant, at first, or on the first try, or even on the second or third attempt, it doesn't mean they don't happen ever, Shang Chenghua says finally. Though, I don't think I would have listened either. I definitely wouldn't have believed it. Luo Jiahui reaches out with her free hand to lace their fingers together.
That sounds like a good thing to tell this boy, too, she declares. It's good that you're looking out for him.
Shang Chenghua thinks that he and Shen Yuan would probably both prefer that it was anyone else. But they don't really get a choice in this, huh? He's still thinking about the weirdness of this shitty, no-good situation when Luo Jiahui decides that this quiet moment with the three of them linked together by her hands like this is a good time to make an important announcement.
Good news, she assures Shang Chenghua quickly.
Oh? Shang Chenghua says, not feeling very reassured at all. Shang Chenghua has to be told this good news three times over. He keeps saying,
really?
In an increasingly high-pitched voice. But the important announcement gets through his skull eventually, and it's definitely news. For sure it's news. It's some of the most news he's ever heard. His sister-in-law and her husband are talking about babies.
Hua Ge, Jiahui says, concerned.
Congratulations. Good luck, Shang Chenghua says quickly. I'm happy for you, Jiamei, Qingge. Really, I am. I'm just very surprised. I probably shouldn't be, should I? There's not a baby coming yet, right? This is just a warning.
It's good that he was already sitting down,
Liu Qingge comments to his wife.
There's no baby coming yet,
Luo Jiahui assures Shang Chenghua slowly.
Okay,
Shang Chenghua says, feeling so many emotions right now that it kind of feels like he's not feeling anything at all. He's excited, he thinks. He's happy for them. He's also fumbling, trying to count the number of months between now and everything, as he knows it potentially going completely to shit. Luo Jiahui still looks concerned, so Shang Chenghua puts his best effort into assuring her and Liu Qingge that he totally views this as a good thing. He quickly cracks an empty nester joke and manages to get his sister-in-law to smile again. Luo Binghe and Luo Fan Li apparently don't know yet, because Luo Jiahui wants to tell them herself in her own time. But Shang Chenghua is certain that they'll be excited about this, too. And that a baby with Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge for parents will be the luckiest baby in the world. Once again, Shang Qinghua won't ask her to put her life on hold for the plot she doesn't know about. Thrown back into the day-in, day-out of Changchong Mountain sect, recently upset by demon invasion, with his sister-in-law's good news knocking around his head, doesn't really help Shang Qinghua concentrate. He's got too much to keep an eye on when he only has two eyes. He needs to keep an eye on his nephew for a sign of the dream demon's visit, first and foremost, which the sect doesn't know about and definitely isn't accommodating with all the orders being shoved in his direction all the time. So there's no convenient time to pull Peerless Cucumber aside, tell him that Shang Qinghua is here for him, and ask him what the fuck is really going on here. Maybe it's a good thing that his fellow transmigrator keeps avoiding him, though, because even though he really wants to keep his promise to Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge not to tell anyone yet, Shang Qinghua really is only just barely resisting the urge to grab everyone he meets and yell, "Holy shit! I might become an uncle again! I may be going to be an uncle again, bro! I don't know if I can handle another one! Bro, I'm not handling this! I know this new one will be small and cute and cuddly, but then they'll grow up, and they'll realize that the world is kind of shitty, and then they'll stop talking to me, and they'll go out into the world and do dangerous things on their own. Fuck! Fuck! Doesn't anyone else understand there's a plot out there?" It would make meetings about shipments of rare beetles and the sect's supply of medical bandages a little more interesting, sure, but not in a good way. That's just going to end in a very confused random cultivator and a pissed-off transmigration system. "No more waiting around for this kid," Shang Qinghua decides firmly. Well, he kind of mumbles it into his bed. He flopped down onto his stomach here about an hour ago, after getting home, and he hasn't really moved since, even though he can't stop fucking thinking. Tomorrow he will make Peerless Cucumber confess his troubles and or cut the bullshit. A disciple in need will give him a good excuse to make that asshole from Tianyi Overlook talk to the low-level manager that he should be talking to, instead of the Lord of Anding Peak himself. It's just so easy not to talk to him, though. Shang Qinghua sighs. So much easier. He stays there until he feels a familiar whisper of power somewhere in the house. Then cold air brushing over him, followed by a hand landing on his back, moving upwards. Shang Qinghua rolls over as Mo Bei Jun lies down beside him. Mo Bei Jun looks kind of tired. Shang Qinghua reaches out, hesitates, then finishes reaching out to brush the man's hair away from his face. Shang Qinghua kind of wants to make a really stupid joke here. "My king, let's run away together," he could say. He's so tired that his stupid joke almost sounds like a good idea. Instead, he realizes that Mo Bei Jun's hair has some kind of dried goo in it, and his nose finally gets through to the rest of him. Shang Qinghua ends up saying, "Holy shit, what is that smell? My king, don't just lie down. Up, up, get up!" Thankfully, it's no emergency. Mo Bei Jun only has a little bit of demonic guts or slime in his hair and on his clothes, like he was able to clean up a little bit before coming here. But Shang Qinghua still insists on a bath and new bedsheets. This cleaning job is not good enough for Shang Qinghua's bed, now that he knows he really does get a say in these things. They get to genuinely consider sharing a bath for once, but Mo Bei Jun's baths have a tendency to turn into ice slush, and Shang Qinghua is not willing to test the ice demon's control just yet. Not yet! Even if Mo Bei Jun makes an expression that Shang Qinghua interprets as a disappointed scowl. Anyway, helping Mo Bei Jun bathe is still a very good time. Afterwards, Shang Qinghua gets to sit with his back against the headboard, with Mo Bei Jun's head in his lap, brushing out the man's hair. It's nice. Shang Qinghua ends up complaining about his uncooperative fellow transmigrator while he works.
This is the one who visits the basement with you,
Mo Beijun says. Yeah. He has some related issues. I guess you could call him my, special disciple. He's not one of my head disciples. No way. Just the idea of leaving Cucumber in charge of Anding Peak is bad to think about.
Has the looking glass been used again?
What? No! No, my king, I'm never touching that thing again. And I won't let anyone else touch it either. We're not trying to see the future or anything. No, definitely not. We're just trying to understand that artifact. That one of my not-disciples told me about and why Huanhua Palace might have wanted it. But he skipped out on a meeting with me twice now, just because he accidentally called me Daga. It's so stupid. I think my nephew might be avoiding me too, but maybe it's all in my head. He's not on my peak. Of course I don't get to see him very often. He knows that he has some special connection to demons now. I don't know what to say to him.
The truth.
Shang Qinghua laughs. That makes it sound so obvious, my king. My problem is, how do I tell these young people what I need to tell them? Especially when I don't even know what's going on with them. I even asked my sister-in-law and her husband for advice on what reassurance they wanted to hear from their parents and teachers as children. Shang Qinghua repeats Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge's words to Mo Beijun, who appears to consider them very carefully. Shang Qinghua even, though Mo Beijun doesn't ask, forces himself to add, I said that I wished my parents had told me that because good things don't just happen from nothing, it doesn't mean that they can't happen ever. But, that would have required my parents being very different people. Mo Beijun says nothing at first, staring up at him.
Words have meant little to me,
he says finally. My king?
Liars are too common.
Shang Qinghua would agree with this statement, but he listens instead.
My uncle is far more skilled with words than I am,
Mo Beijun says slowly.
My father is careless with them. I have seen many false and forgotten promises. I have endeavored never to make one personally.
The ice demon is still looking directly at Shang Qinghua, who just blinks at him through this pause.
I do not believe in mere words. Actions have far greater weight,
Mo Beijun continues.
Your actions have had great weight to me, but your words at first did not. Yet, actions alone are not always fully understood.
No.
Nor words alone. I did not know the words that you needed when we met.
You didn't say much of anything most of the time, my king, Shang Qinghua agrees, a little chidingly, which makes Mo Beijun huff at him.
I do not always know the words that you need now.
You're getting too good at them now, really. It's a little too much sometimes. I don't know how you say some of these things with a straight face, my king.
Important things must be made clear before it's too late,
Mo Beijun says, totally shameless now, reaching up to hold his cool hand against Shang Qinghua's cheek.
The words need not be skillful. They must only be said.
That's very wise, my king, Shang Qinghua says, kind of shocked. Mo Beijun hums, clearly pleased with himself. Shang Qinghua reaches up to hold the hand against his cheek. He brings their joined hands down so that they're resting comfortably against his chest. It's getting pretty late now. They should really go to sleep. But instead, they stay like that for longer than maybe they should. not really saying anything at all. Sleeping really well is great. It doesn't often happen that Shang Cheng Hua sleeps through the night and wakes up feeling super well rested. Unfortunately, feeling good kind of just makes Shang Cheng Hua not want to do anything, because his to-do list today is shitty and he doesn't want to stop feeling good yet. But there's only so much understanding that Shang Cheng Hua can be of making a conversational slip and then never wanting to talk to anyone ever again. This isn't like never visiting this one convenience store for 2 years because he accidentally opened and tried to eat his toothpaste instead of his candy bar, and the store cashier saw the whole thing. His fellow transmigrator can't constantly bug him for updates, then turn around and stop talking to him. Well, he can, but he shouldn't. Shang Cheng Hua has Chen Xuan send the kid back to his leisure house to fetch some random book, then corners him. It may or may not be super gratifying to see an unsuspecting peerless cucumber startle at the sight of him in the doorway. "Hey," Shang Cheng Hua says, closing the door behind him. Shen Yuan has the expression of a person trying really fucking hard not to be obvious about looking for escape routes. "Hello," he returns, cool as a fucking cucumber, trying to play the innocent here. "Is something wrong?" "I was hoping you could tell me," Shang Cheng Hua says. "Bro, you've been avoiding me, skipping out on Transmigrator Club meetings and everything. What's wrong?"
"Nothing's wrong," Shen Yuan says. "Sorry, I've been focused on cultivating. It's tiring."
Yeah, it is pretty tiring sometimes," Shang Cheng Hua agrees, hoping that his expression conveys how much he does not buy this bullshit. Trying to be nice and gentle about this is so much work. How the fuck does Jia Hui do it? You're still going to your Chen Chao checkups, though, right? Everything is still okay with your situation here? Everything is still looking good?"
"Yes."
"That's good, that's good." Shen Yuan nods and says nothing, glancing hopefully towards the door. "Bro, you don't have to be embarrassed about the Daga thing," Zhang Qinghua says directly. "It was an honest mistake, and it's really okay. I don't even mind if it wasn't just a slip. Do you want me to never bring it up again? Will that make you happy? Because I can totally never bring it up again if it'll make you stop avoiding me like this and making me think that something is really, really wrong."
"Everything is really, really wrong."
"What?"
"Everything is always really, really wrong," Shen Yuan snaps, slamming the book he's holding on the table beside him. "That won't make me happy. Why would anything make me happy about this situation? How can you be happy about this?"
"Oh," Shang Cheng Hua thinks. "Cucumber Bro hasn't been cooling down at all. He's just been stewing. Fuck."
"Maybe for you this is some wish-fulfillment little dream world. Maybe you like it here because it's your shitty world, so you like the terrifying missions, and you like the cultivating for years while waiting for things to actually happen. But I don't want to keep living like this off your charity in your stupid world,"
Shen Yuan cries, like he's been waiting to say this for a long time now.
"How long is this supposed to go on? I have my own family, you know. I have a life. It wasn't very much, maybe, but I liked it. I don't care if you don't mind. It's not okay. I want to go home."
Shang Cheng Hua can't do much besides say, "I can't do that."
Shen Yuan looks stricken for a moment, then goes back to scowling. "I know," he says. "I know you can't. I know the system probably can't either. I just.
"Yeah," Shang Cheng Hua says. "I know." That makes his fellow transmigrator take a deep breath, looking like he wishes that he really could breathe fire at him.
"I had a Daga, you know," he blurts out. "I had two older brothers and a younger sister and my parents and..."
"And?"
I don't want to call you Daga. I don't care if you don't mind. You're not that.
You don't have to, bro. You've been hanging out with Fun Lee, and that's what she calls me. It was just a mistake, and it didn't have to mean anything at all.
Zhang Qinghua says, a little exasperated.
I'm not replacing anyone here. I don't like calling you Shifu either.
Okay. That lack of respect is probably going to raise a few eyebrows around the sect, but Zhang Qinghua doesn't really give a shit. It's not like Anding Peak gets the greatest amount of respect around here to begin with, and it's not like the assholes who give him shit are going to change their attitudes just because his disciples are or aren't brats.
Uh-huh. Well, if it's just between us, you can call me Qinghua or Huohua, I guess,
Zhang Qinghua decides.
Or airplane? It's all good, really. I don't care.
Shen Yuan nods slowly, but doesn't look satisfied by this offering.
Bro, come on, sit down.
Because Zhang Qinghua has his fellow transmigrator cornered here, the kid really has no choice but to sit with Zhang Qinghua. Shen Yuan could try to run for it again, sure. But Zhang Qinghua isn't above tackling him and sitting on him this time.
I had a family too, he says. I didn't like them very much, and they didn't like me very much either. But I had one. Divorced parents, step-siblings, and half-siblings.
Shen Yuan just looks suspicious at being given this information.
I have a second birth family now too. We're not close, and I haven't seen them since I left for the sect. It was just too weird. I can laugh now and say that you get used to this place and that things get better, but that doesn't change the fact that this is totally a different world and that a lot of things about this situation are really shit and really fucking terrifying. I'm not actually going to make you pretend to like it or act grateful about it. I wasn't so, it'd be really fucking hypocritical if I expected you to be.
Shen Yuan opens his mouth and then closes it again, then opens it again and just says,
I don't want to get used to it, like it's the only thing he can get out.
Uh-huh, I know. Look, I asked a few people for help on what to say to someone feeling lost. But the thing is that no one is really going to know what you've lost here. No one in this whole fucking world except for me. But not even me, really, huh? This is different for both of us. I can tell you things like that, and I'll try to keep carrying you through this shit, even if you give up completely on your cultivation and just sit around reading all day. And I will, even though I really fucking hope you don't. And that there's a lot more to this world and this transmigration experience than the next plot point. And that just because good things aren't happening right away doesn't mean they won't happen ever. But that doesn't really change the fact that you never asked for any of this, right?
Shen Yuan nods slowly, squinting at him.
Speaking from experience, bro, avoiding the people who are trying to help you through this shit and just focusing on how much you don't want to be here, that's just going to make you the loneliest person in this damn world, Zhang Qinghua says honestly. Accidentally calling me Daga doesn't replace anyone. You can hate the things you hate about this while liking the things you like about it, you know? Shit, that sounds stupid. It's still true, though. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You don't have to give up enjoying things because it's disloyal not to be sadder about this. What does that do?
That's not what I'm trying to do, Shen Yuan insists.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying. It's just an example. I don't know what to think is going on with you when you just suddenly stop talking to me. I don't know what words you need here. I just know that you probably need to hear something.
Shen Yuan clenches his jaw.
He's really not easy to crack, is he?
I have a family now, and it took me a long time to get them, but that doesn't mean I haven't been lonely in some ways, too,
Zhang Qinghua says.
I know I complain about that surprise world update a lot, but that wasn't your fault, and I don't actually blame you for it, bro. It was just the last straw of something I've been ignoring for a long time. Most of my problems are problems that I chose to take on for my family. It's no one's fault but mine that I have them, really. And that shitty, no-good systems, mostly the systems, it's probably like 99% the system and 1% me, right?
Shen Yuan snorts.
Zhang Qinghua grins at him.
I don't know if I've said it. I don't think I have, but I actually like having you around, bro. I didn't know how much I missed some things until you showed up. Like the fact that you know so much about the story I wrote and that you gave a shit about it at all, even after it turned into formulaic harem bullshit. I don't like thinking that I put millions of words into my story and no one gave a shit. There's so much I can't remember about my own plot, and it's really helpful having you around, you know? I like listening to you go on about monsters and tropes and how shitty it is not having convenient thermostats and other things in this world. If I had to pick another transmigrator, I'm glad it's you here and not any of the people who thought any of the pa-pa-pa I was writing was good.
Shen Yuan actually laughs, though he cuts off quickly, clearly surprised at himself.
I like the fact that you bother me for plot updates and that you care what happens to my nephew,
Zhang Qinghua shamelessly tells his fellow transmigrator.
I like that you're nice to him, bro, especially when he's having a tough time as the protagonist. I like that you're friends with my little sister-in-law, even though I kind of worry sometimes that she's outsourcing her caution to you, and that you put up with my personal disciples, even though they're kind of liars, cheats, and thieves.
It's not that big a deal.
What about the fact that you haven't turned me in for being a sect traitor?
Shen Yuan looks awkward now.
It's for Binghe, he says. Yeah, and I'm really glad you care about him and have my back on this and know how complicated the situation really is. Do you know how many of my shitty readers would have gone, fuck Luo Binghe, I'm going to be the protagonist now?
You catered to that type of fan, Shen Yuan accuses, but he's kind of smiling.
I did. That would be on me, Zhang Qinghua agrees, and does not start making semi-serious jokes about potential solutions in that kind of situation.
Shen Yuan's smile fades, and he goes back to looking unconvinced.
Fun Li said that you told her to be nice to me because I don't have any friends, he accuses next. She said it like a joke, but then she said it was true.
What? Did you say that?
No? Wait, fuck.
You did.
I don't know what she said exactly, but I told her not to tease you and Binghe about being friends and make it weird because of the age difference and the different peaks.
Zhang Qinghua groans.
Because Binghe needs more friends and because you just got here. Why would you have many friends yet? My little sister-in-law isn't being forced to hang out with you, bro. She's just got a temper. She's got too much of a temper to be forced to do anything like that.
I did snap at her that I didn't want any of her food, Shen Yuan admits guiltily.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I just wanted to be left alone.
She didn't seem too mad about it when I saw her. Go apologize to her and then ask her not to say that kind of thing again, Zhang Qinghua says. And then, after a moment's thought, reaches out to take his fellow transmigrator's shoulders. I know you don't want to be here, but I'm glad it's you. I like having you around. Stop fucking avoiding me.
Shen Yuan nods. His eyes are looking a little bright here, but Zhang Qinghua elects to be a good person and doesn't mention it. He looks around his fellow transmigrators' leisure house instead.
You know, you can put up a memorial tablet to your family or something.
What?
It's your house, Zhang Qinghua points out. You can do what you want here. The system's put us through enough bullshit here, bro. You can make them put up with something to honor your family or something. I know you have this amnesia storyline, which sucks, But say that you got some early childhood memories back or something. You don't have to pretend that your family never existed. And if you need a day off for this kind of thing sometimes, you can tell me, you know?
Okay, Cucumber Bro is definitely looking a little teary-eyed now. Shang Qinghua desperately wishes that his sister-in-law was guiding him through this kind of thing. But it really can only be him doing this, huh? Transmigrators have to look out for each other.
You can cry, Shang Qinghua tells him, electing to be an even better person now. I won't say a word about it. If you want. I don't have any room to talk. I'd be really hypocritical. I cried on my sister-in-law's shoulder over this kind of thing. Honestly, I've cried a lot over the years. You were just late and missed all of that pitiful sobbing. It's fine. It's really fine. It happens.
Shut up, Shen Yuan says, but he doesn't say it meanly. He also doesn't shake off Shang Qinghua's hand on his shoulder as he wipes at his eyes.
After making sure that his fellow transmigrator isn't going to lock himself up in his leisure house and stay there forever, Shang Qinghua ditches some of his afternoon meetings to sneak down to his sister-in-law's restaurant. Luo Jiahui is happy to see him, of course, if a little confused and concerned about why he's here.
Those people Shang Qinghua just stood up would be so pissed off to know that he's left them in the hands of mere disciples just so he could go hug his sister-in-law.
What's this for? Luo Jiahui asks gently. Can't a man come hug his sister for no reason these days? What's the world coming to? Shang Qinghua says, but then answers.
I talked to my disciple who was avoiding me. It worked out. I have a very brave and wise sister-in-law. Did you know that?
Luo Jiahui says, a little embarrassed, but then she hugs him back.